Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Jeff Brandeis with the How We Scale podcast. Today, we have a special guest, and he's going to cover things that every business must be concerned with or must comply with. So please welcome Dave Haupt. Dave is director of the tax team at Red Rock Tax. So, Dave, welcome to our podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. The way you introduce me, it makes me think that I sound like such a taskmaster, someone who's solely responsible with compliance. And you know what? I think that that's how a lot of business owners see accountants. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to go to my accountant. They think of him as the dentist, right? Oh, this guy's just going to tell me that's not deductible. Or, oh, I have to be reporting that? Come on, when do I catch a break? And I like to think of myself as the accountant that shows you the path to making more of your expenses tax deductible. I like to give you more information rather than just straight up saying, nope, that's not going to work for you. I'm way more inclined to tell you, well, maybe you don't apply for or you don't qualify for that right now. But if we were to do this, or if our efforts were shifted more towards that, we could apply for those credits, or we could qualify for these deductions.
Thank you for clarifying that, Dave. I didn't mean to put you into that.
Not at all, Jeff. I know your intent. You got a good heart.
So, you know, you do bring up a point, though, that, you know, accounting today is not like accounting it was even 5 years ago. Your role as a consultant, as a guider, as a coach, even, if you would, in making companies profitable and guiding them into financial success, quite candidly, is a lot different than it was 5 years ago. Can you help explain a little bit of that transition?
Yeah. Oh, man. I'll say the growing pains of the last 2 years have forced an enormous amount of accountants to retire. That is just a truth. That is a truth that it's undeniable. And it's kind of sad because there's some wonderful accountants that have just said, yeah, you know, the rules have changed too much. It's not worth even trying to keep up with it anymore. And to what you're talking about over the last 5 years, I mean, if you're talking about the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act that was enacted in 2018, I completely agree with you. It's been a humongous shift. And people are continuing to use their tax advisors. They're continuing to use accountants, but probably, and in most cases, not to their full potential. Not to the full potential of their accountant, and certainly not to the full potential of that business that's using them. You need to, if you have an accountant that only wants to meet with you once a year, wants you to deliver him the numbers, and then wants you to leave after paying your fee, then you don't have an accountant. If you are looking for someone to meet, I'd say at a minimum, you want someone that meets with you quarterly. You want someone that will review numbers and what the outcome will be. A lot of people don't understand that the largest expense that they have, not only as a business owner, just as a U.S. citizen, one of the largest expenses they have every year is in paying taxes. It's true. And in many cases, it's greater than what they're paying in their mortgage every month. But because it comes out each month, maybe they don't think about it.
That is very true.
Coming out. Yeah. And a lot of these things are baked right into the tax law. I mean, consider that we have a tax source code that at one point was greater than 109,000 pages, right? All of the IRS different proclamations was 109,000 pages. Now it's been reduced down to only 86,000 pages. But the reason I bring that up is because things are changing all the time. There's tons of bills that are on the floor even right now. The Build Back Better Act that hasn't been completely figured out just yet. But that has a lot of different changes baked right into it. And I say baked in because the tax code is put together in such a way that every dollar you make is taxed. Right. So if you are not going after every deduction that you qualify for, then I can guarantee for a fact that you are paying too much in tax.
That is very true. So, Dave, when you think about your clients or even prospective clients, what do you think they're wasting their time and money on in today's accounting world, so to speak, that they shouldn't be doing at the moment?
Well, that's a good question. And I think it really depends on which industry you're talking about.
Okay.
There are industries that are primed in 2022 for growth, and there are industries that are primed in 2022 for a slowdown. And regardless of where you stand on that, I think it's a good idea to talk to an advisor, share your concerns with that advisor. I would say that something that so many business owners struggle with is spending $90 on a 15-minute phone call. They don't feel safe doing it. Like I said, talking to their accountant is like talking to the dentist. And so they put it off and they put it off and they put it off. And by the time tax time comes around, I tell them, you know, your bill is let's say it's $10,000 greater this year than last year. And that is because we didn't do X, Y, and Z. Now, I wanted to execute those with you, but it looks like we missed all of our appointments. Now, something I do with my clients is I will pre-schedule out a year's worth of appointments. I really want to talk with them. I give it to them. It's in their power. They have access to my calendar. And I say, as soon as you have signed your engagement letter, you select four time spots, right? And here's the week that I want you to put it in. And if that doesn't work for you, then here's a backup location. But you really need more exposure to your advisor. Now, something I do that I don't know that a lot of other accountants do, I know that it's certainly the trend, or it's moving towards that in a trend, is a subscription model. So I don't charge any of my clients for a 15-minute phone call or even a half hour phone call. Right? If it's outside of the ordinary, outside of the scope that we're talking about, then sure, there might be a fee there. But so long as it's associated with your business and the way you're paying taxes, it's gonna be covered. You're not gonna be paying an additional fee. And that has taken away some of the trepidation, some of the fear of reaching out to their accountant.
I was gonna ask you about what differentiates you versus other firms, but I think you just really nailed that question just now. And I think that type of feeling that you convey to your clients of, hey, I'm here for you, don't worry about it for those 15, 20 minutes if you got a question. The clock isn't always going to tick, and it's not always going to cost you something to, you know, to have a conversation with me. And I think that's a great culture for your firm. And it's a great, if I was a client, I'd feel that comfort to know that my accountant, my CPA is actually caring about me as a business and not always worrying about, you know, making a nickel every time I call them. So I think that's a great concept and great culture that you're building in there. What got you into accounting? I always love to know how people got into their roles or their jobs, and what brought you to the accounting field?
Well, I'm a third generation accountant.
Okay.
My grandfather was an accountant. My dad was an accountant, is an accountant. And they have had a great deal of success in their lives. They've been very comfortable in their lives. And my dad was able to come to so many of my baseball games and my wrestling meets and my sister's events and all my brothers. I have four brothers and a sister, so there's six kids. And my dad was able to make time for all of us. And that was a big,
that's
big
awesome.
Win. I'll tell you though, I definitely didn't go to college with that ambition. When I went to college, I thought for sure I was going to be a lawyer. I was interning for Senator Hatch in Washington, D.C. as a deputy press secretary, working on crafting, you know, press releases with the press secretary. And there was a lot going on. This was 2008 and just prior to the big bailout votes. And I saw a bunch of people that you've heard of, right? These are senators that are always making a splash, people you've heard of. And I saw them having kind of a convention. It wasn't on the floor of the House, no, or in the Senate. No, it was in the middle of the Hart building. They're together, they're talking, and they say, oh yeah, we all agree. I agree with you. You need to do this, we need to do this. And then everyone's saying, yeah, but our parties won't allow it, you know? And so when I saw the party politics and stuff, I really became disillusioned. It really changed my outlook. And I thought that lawyering would require a great deal of speaking out of both sides of my mouth. And I didn't think that I could live with that. Then I talked to a couple of grouchy lawyers that are about 70 years old and still clocking in. And I thought, oh, okay, I don't think that's going to work. Now, I don't know if I would have been a better lawyer than them or anything, but I will say that definitely turned me off of it. As far as starting your own business, being an accountant, I took a lot. I got started with a very small firm. I just bought a book of business that was maybe about 20,000. And I started there, and I was able to do a bunch of revenue plus ideas and attract back a lot of the clients that had left that firm. With my energy, I think, with my attitude, with some of my strategies that I was pitching to them. And that's made all the difference. And so now, yeah, like I said, it's made all the difference, and it makes it exciting. I'll tell you, every time anyone asked me growing up what I wanted to do, I'd say something along the lines of, you know, I don't know what I want to do, but I definitely want to help people. I want that to be my ambition. And pretty much any career can say that, right? Whether you're a scalper for tickets, you're like, look, I help people by finding tickets, you know, or I sell used cars because people need a used car. Okay, fine. You're right. But people are afraid of the boogeyman, and the boogeyman's initials are IRS. And I get to help you sleep with a flashlight, right? I give you the tools you need to think, you know what, this is going to be okay. I'm going to find my way to the other side of this. My dad is an enrolled agent, and the IRS is afraid of him, right? I'm an enrolled agent, right? And my dad has such a reputation that sometimes when they're challenging an audit, he'll come in all prepared, and they'll just pack up their things and say, no change, no change. I don't even want to talk about it. No change.
Wow. I'll have to remember that, man, because I wanted it.
Yeah, you might want to. You might want to.
So, Dave, the name of my podcast is How We Scaled. And you kind of hit it a little bit with buying the practice. But you're now up to, I think, three locations across the Arizona neck of the woods, and you're growing. How did you grow? How did you scale your business?
Well, when I got started, I was taking anything I could get, talking to strangers, pitching my business, genuinely anything I could get. One day I was at an Arco gas station, and a really wonderfully outfitted Jeep rolled up behind me. And I complimented on him on his Jeep. I pointed out a few things that he really was proud of on his Jeep. And I saw his out-of-state tag, and I said, what brings you to town? He says, oh, I'm here to talk with my accountant. I'm very unhappy with the way some things are going. And I say, I'm an accountant. And we had a little chat right there at the pump. The next day he asked if he could take me out to lunch. He said, I didn't have a very good conversation with my accountant. And by billing that guy what I was worth, I was able to start my own business. I mean, it really carried us for probably the first year. I mean, I already had two little kids at the time. Me and my wife already had two little kids. We got four little kids now. But like, so how we scaled. First thing is that at that stage in my life, I was very hungry and trying very hard to take on whatever tasks I could in order to keep everybody fed, right? But as I've grown, I've been more selective as to who's a good client, who's a good fit.
Sure.
How did we scale? I think it's at least partly putting myself in the right situations, exposing myself to the right kind of growth engines. Two of our locations have been purchased, right? We saw an opportunity to buy a practice that would be cash flow positive. And that if we incorporated some of my plans, some of my consultation, some of these strategies, they could really take off. So I think that in this case, scaling was being in the right place at the right time, which is a terrible strategy. you can't rely on that.
Yeah, but you know, just the fact that you were able to honestly talk to a stranger at a gas station and to pick up a client, it kind of makes, you know, people who are listening to the podcast go, you never know where a sale can come from. You know, having an innocent conversation can lead to a client, no matter what business you're in. And I think that's a great, valuable lesson, candidly, that goes forgotten, or people are afraid to talk to somebody, or you're at a party, or you're at a, you know, someone asks what you do, and you don't have a good, you know, comeback, or you don't have your 20-second pitch of what your elevator pitch is all about. But you know, you can meet a client anywhere, and I think that's an important concept for you to, for everyone to learn from.
Yeah, so, I think that that starting there was a really good entry point for me, right? Like I told you earlier that I had called some of the clients that had recently left that practice that I had purchased, and made an impact on them, and that they came back. And you don't want to underestimate your own skill level. Don't do what you're great at for free, right? Don't just give them everything right over the phone, or you know, whatever, but find what you're great at and do some of it. You know, it'll work out.
Oh, sure. It definitely can work out. And you kind of hit upon a couple of other things. So when you look at your practice, is there a niche or a specialty or an industry that you like to focus in on at this point?
We have a lot of doctors. We have surgical offices, we have medical offices, imaging offices. We've got pharmacists. We've got a lot in the medical field, lots of dentists. So a lot in that field. And then we have a growing one, which is construction. And another growing one, which I'm finding very fun, is car wash operators, lube centers. Boy, these guys have a knack for finding terrible advice. They get the worst accountants. I'm amazed at the things that I hear them being advised to do. So I would say that those are the fields that we specialize in. But I would never leave out real estate, because that's been a fantastic, man. That I feel like the real estate was one of the things that got me from B to C, because A to B was that client that I'm speaking of that had the Jeep, right? He got me from A to B, and then from B to C was real estate. And I still have an enormous amount of clients that are highly invested in real estate, and helping them make great decisions, whether they're realtors who are trying to move deals, or home flippers, or just landlords. So that got me from B to C, and I still really appreciate that field as well.
Oh, that covers a lot of different industries and a lot of different niches, if you would, or specialties within certain industries as well. So, you know, obviously real estate, you know, most people think about the real estate broker. They'll talk about, the landlords and the flippers and, all the other things that are actually now happening more and more often within the real estate world. And same thing with, you think medical, you think of know, the doctor, but you don't always think about the dentist and the other aspects of the medical field. So that is awesome. So Dave, I'm just curious, and for our listeners, if someone wanted to find you and learn more about you and be able to touch base, what's the best way that they can reach out to connect with you?
Well, I've got a phone number. I don't know if a lot of people of your listeners still use telephones, but that's 435-635-2494. You can reach me at my email address. That's dave@redrocktax.com. We have a website, which is redrocktax.com, as you may have guessed. And we have offices in Lake Havasu City, Flagstaff, Arizona, and St. George, Utah. Well, I'm sorry, Hurricane, Utah, but they're neighbor cities.
Right. And I would imagine in today's environment, if I was in New York or Florida, Texas, with our remote capabilities, you're able to reach out and also offer your services through a remote process as well?
Yes, that's exactly true. Yes.
That's awesome. So Dave, thank you so much for joining How We Cast, the podcast of How We Scale. Thank you so much. It has been a pleasure having you on the show. I've learned a little bit too, as I always like to learn from my people on the show. So everyone, thank you again for joining. This is Jeff Brandeis with How We Scaled, and stay tuned for another future podcast from Jeff and How We Scaled. Dave, thanks again for joining. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.